Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to EcoTwist, a conversation about business, sustainability, politics, culture, and social good. I'm your host, Dawida Suharyana. Our topic for today is about business and activism. And our guest today is Brad Baldia, who is the director of TurnkeyStartupSpace.com, a new co-working outfit in Philadelphia. He's also the president of Philippine American Chamber of Commerce of Philadelphia and New Jersey, and he serves on various boards, including the Multicultural Affairs Congress. Brad is a member of the FBI Philadelphia Multicultural Advisory Committee. We're still waiting for Brad. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brad, are you there?
Hello? Yep, I'm here. Hi.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the show. And
thank you.
You know, I didn't know much about you until I had to do research to prepare for this interview. Preparing for the interview, right? So
Sure. Tell
us about you and your new gig.
Sure. Yeah, I'm real excited. So I'm based in Philadelphia, and I just launched with two partners, a co-working office space. And so the goal for co-working is to provide affordable and flexible office space for startups, entrepreneurs, small businesses, and nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Mm, how's
so it's definitely been a learning experience. We've got so much interest, and a lot of it, it's all about timing. For me, the idea of my group talking about it and actually finding the space and renovating it all came in like 5 months, so very quickly. And so we actually found this amazing location in one of the fastest developing areas in Philadelphia, which is called Brewery Town. So, it's right above the art museum area, so the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and the area called Fairmount. And so there's a lot of just new construction, high percentage of young entrepreneurs, and new businesses moving into the area. And so we wanted to be able to provide, that was a big need that we saw.
Mm. How is the co-working scene like in Philly right now?
It's huge. So co-working actually started in Europe and Asia about 10 years ago. In the past 4 or 5 years, it's gotten extremely the first co-working space was in Philadelphia. It was called Indy Hall, which was for freelancers. Mm. Now, over the past 4 or 5 years, it's just gotten bigger and bigger. And you see them in all the big major cities, right? And so Philadelphia,
right,
we've got about, say, 9 or 10 different mm-hmm. co-working spaces, but mm-hmm. each of them have different niches that they focus on. So whether it's technology, health, women, all kinds of different things. So for us, what we've chosen to focus on is how are we supporting not only one, Brewery Town and small business, two, minority and women entrepreneurs, three mm-hmm. is ethnic chambers of commerce, and then lastly, how does that drive international trade between greater Philadelphia and Asia, Latin America, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it that working out of a co-working space is better than working out in your basement?
Your basement or the Starbucks
or
a hotel?
Well,
sure.
A lot of the solo entrepreneurs working out of their basements, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
What are the benefits?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are the benefits for solo entrepreneurs to use a co-working space?
Absolutely.
That we
so,
can't have at home.
Sure, sure. So one, so a lot of it's to create the right environment so that they can be productive, and really grow their company faster than they might be able to do at home. And so a lot of it is, one, it's really about the community. And so this, for us, it's an open space environment, meaning you interact a lot more. It's not cubicles. It's not all private offices. It's not very corporate. It's open space. And so the major function for these co-working spaces is to facilitate not only collaboration, but innovation. Okay, so that's one key factor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other piece of it is that we see ourselves for turnkey startup space is to do wraparound services so that they come in for, if they're coming in only 10 days a month, it's only $150. But that includes all their utilities, includes high-speed internet, coffee, tea, beer, snacks, everything,
wow.
Workshops, and then 25% off any consulting services. So our group actually started as a consulting company for small businesses and even for government. But we have in-house, we can do marketing, branding, website, accounting and taxes, all of that. So all the major needs that a business might have, we're doing it in-house, so it's really convenient for them. And then we give them at 25% off.
That's awesome.
So
that's an awesome deal.
Yeah.
And then, $150 is not much. And like if you get all the benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if they want to do 15 days a month, so they can pick any day during the month, and we track that. So it's 15 days a month, it's only $250. And then if they want to every single day, then it's just $395. Now, if you're coming in and you have to do it on your own to get an office, it's easily $800 or $1,000. It depends on the market, right? But easily $800 to $1,000 plus your insurance, utilities, and all of that.
Right. So is running this co-working space a career change for you?
It is, but really, in essence, it ties in a lot of my interests. So all the things I've done with, say, nonprofit management, with government affairs, the work I do with the city and also on the national level, I bring it all together with this co-working space because what I've transitioned or really started focusing on is international trade, working with MBDA, Minority Business Development Agency, and SBA. I have a White House Small Business Bootcamp coming to Philadelphia in April. And so that, is building capacity for Filipino-American chambers and business leaders nationally. And so all these things come together really pretty nicely.
Tell us about you mentioned about the White House Business Bootcamp. What is
sure,
this bootcamp
sure,
all about?
Uh-huh. Sure. So last year, the White House Initiative on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders had what's called the Challenge Proposal. And they basically asked the Asian American community, what are major issues that are affecting Asian Americans nationally, and how can you partner with the administration in addressing these issues? So they received several hundred proposals, and mine was one of only five selected. And so the proposal that I submitted was that the Filipino community, even though it's the second largest Asian ethnic group after Chinese, so Chinese are 3.8 million, Filipinos are 3.4 million, and also globally, Philippines is the second fastest growing economy after China. So our economic growth was actually 6.9%, which is fantastic. So there's a disconnect because the Filipino business community is not the same level as, say, Korean or Chinese or even Vietnamese because they're not – a lot of our community are not – it doesn't come to them quite as naturally. There aren't a lot – there isn't a lot of – right? So – We're trying to educate them a lot more in terms of how can they build their businesses, mainstreaming. So really figuring out who are they targeting for their clients and building sustainable and profitable businesses, and then learning best practices from other business communities.
Okay, so this is solely for the Filipino American business community.
The boot camp is focusing on the Filipino American community, but we're inviting others also to join. So it's on April 21st.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not never exclusive, but the premise was focusing on the Filipino American community. So a lot of the examples will be Filipino in the discussion. We also are very lucky to have the strong support of our ambassador, Jose Quisha, and the embassy, as well as the Philippine consulate in New York, and the Consul General Mario De Leon. So this is something where all the major partners at the play, you know, how does the U.S. Filipino-American business do business abroad for those that are more advanced, right? And then as small businesses in the United States, how are we strengthening and building our own communities and contributing?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, mostly, what kind of businesses do Filipino focused on? Based on your observation, because like Koreans, we have a lot of Koreans guy cleaners in this area. I don't know in your area.
Yeah, our biggest industry easily is healthcare. So if you take doctors, doctors are small businesses, which they are technically, right?
Right.
So that's doctors and nurses are major export. However, the trend right now has been more of Philippines has outpaced India in terms of calling centers or business processing centers, the PC word for it. You know, so we've got the call centers because our English and literacy levels are very high. And then we've got a lot more that are in IT, technology. This is particularly the younger generation are really going into that area because startups. So for example, Bobby Murphy, he is the second youngest billionaire in the world. And he helped start Snapchat.
Snapchat, right. Right. Wow. Okay, that's pretty interesting because I know, I don't know if you know, I went to school in the Philippines.
Yes.
In my college. Let's talk a little bit about, I know you are active in the community, and most Asians, at least the people I know, are not really into politics nor community activism. You know, I don't have time. That's the most common I've heard from my friends. Or I'm too busy. I don't have the luxury now. I do it when I retire. I think the culture is not there yet, at least haven't really reached the tipping point for our community. Now, you, on the other hand, you play several important roles, like you're president of the Philippine Chamber of Commerce, you're a former president of National Association of Asian Americans Professionals. So you've got all these community roles that you're part of. Now, what get you started?
I think a lot of it, so I grew up, I have two older brothers that were born in the Philippines, and then my twin brother and I were born in the States, and we grew up in a medically underserved area. My father was a surgeon, my mother was a nurse, but then she ended up owned a golf course, restaurant, motel. So, but the area that we lived in was very homogenous. So there weren't that many minorities, and at that time, you know, they thought everyone was Chinese. So it was, you know, for me, it's always been a thing of identity, you know. I went to, even during high school, I went to an all-boys private school and then went to Bucknell University. Identity I was involved with a group that we called Students for Asian Awareness at Bucknell, and then from that I got involved with NAAP. Once I started working, right? So for me, I've always been passionate about, you know, trying issues in the Asian American community, and it grew from there. And then politics, you know, I was actually involved with the Clinton administration. So I've done ethnic outreach with the DNC for many years. I've been faculty for a group called Center for Progressive Leadership. So, you know, whether it's fundraising or grassroots organizing, I really am committed to helping get more diverse candidates to run for office and to represent us, local and local, state, and national.
Okay. So who is your role model? Any role model? You know, that's, I think, what's lacking in our community.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of role models in, you know, that, I'm able to, you know, mentors and people that I call like adoptive parents. So people that really have stuck out. I mean, I think on the national level, you know, Congressman Honda has always been someone that I admire and has been in the forefront for Asian Americans. You know, there's Filipino Americans that, you know, I see that are doing amazing things, like Billy Deck in Chicago, who's a very successful entrepreneur. You know, I think a lot of them are just people like, you know, they're either, you know, they don't need to be national figures, but they're more people that have supported me through the years. So they're like the Asian community leaders that are here, like Nina Ahmad, who's on the President's Advisory Commission, has always been a strong supporter, as well as Andy Toy, who ran for city council. He's probably going to run again. And our only Asian American councilman, David O.
Now, were you always live in Philly, or you're transplanted?
I'm from Philly. Texas? I was in D.C. for a little bit, you know, so, but mostly Philadelphia.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, so how long have you been living in Philadelphia area?
Oh gosh, about I'd say 17, 18 years. Because I did my,
wow.
I got my master's here as well. So I started, you know, stereotypically, I was going to go for a master's in public health and an MD. So I was going to do like health administration or family practice or something like that. And then healthcare changed. And even my father, who, you know, he said not to go that route. And I appreciate, I completely agree that unless you really love it and want to be a doctor, this is not the it's not the same thing as when my father was in medicine.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, that life father, you know, it's good. It's good that you have a supportive father.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Asian families and your parents, you know, a lot of them, I rely on them for a lot of advice. I rely on them for, you know, direction on, especially around career, and you know, and they appreciate my involvement in the community. So I think it's something that's really helped me.
Now, it seems to me that you can go in and out easily between all the roles that you've had. So how do you do that? What are some of the transferable skills, especially the most important ones that allow you to go be, you know, like different environment and just adapt to it?
Well, number one, I don't sleep. No, I'm just kidding. I think
that's right.
No. Yeah. I think the biggest I think the things that you know, in terms of my personality, I have a lot of different interests. For me, it's I have a huge network, and that's always been something. You know, I think I'm not the best at everything, but I am pretty strong at building relationships, and also that falls into why I'm, you know, in terms of fundraising and business development and thing and politics, is it's really about relationships and making sure that you're trying to make them win-win, right? It is about what you can get out of other people, but how do you create something where both sides benefit? I think for me, it's also about always paying it forward. And I love, obviously everyone's busy, but mentoring is always something that's been important to me. And that's why I was involved with NAPS for so long and actually was national president and CEO for for 2 terms. I think part of it is also trying to really boil down, like get rid of the things. You can get bogged down in just doing meetings, but I kept on trying. I come back and say, well, one, how do all my activities relate to my overall goal? What do I want to accomplish? And when I network, I'm very intentional in terms of why I want to meet with someone, and how can I work with them? What value do I bring to them? I'm on the board for the Library of Congress, and they have one of their biggest divisions is the Asian division, and they've got over 3 million volumes. Newspapers, periodicals, and in language, items. And so the thing is, I got there because of my network and the people that I think a lot of it is about figuring out what you're most passionate about, and then also supporting yourself with people that have differing views, but also that you can trust. You know, for me, it's how the president has his cabinet. I have my own kitchen cabinet, and it's people that I go to for advice, for opinions, and also that can have differing views. It's also people that are either very successful in my field or in certain areas that I want to be, that I'm involved in. So for me, it's always about learning. I want to be able to be engaged. I think for me, politics is something that runs through a lot of areas. As long as you try and figure out how do you manage your time and also work balance, I think that's something we all struggle with. For me, to be frank, it's easier because I don't have a family right now. But at some point, I will. So that's going to be even more challenge, right? I hope at some point I will. And then that's where your priorities have to change, right? It can't just be about you. Right. You have to focus on what's best for your family.
That's correct. Now, we're almost close to the end of the show. Your advice to the next generation of community leaders, activists,
sure.
To stay involved in the community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would just encourage them to be passionate and get involved in organizations that you feel are making an impact in your community. I think also don't we can't keep in our silos. So for a lot of it, if we're going to be effective, we need to really understand coalition building. And so for a lot of the work I'm doing, I'm seeing how are we working with African and Caribbean communities, Latino American communities, and LGBT communities, right? So not just about politics, but even with the, National Chambers of Commerce, I've been doing that. So, everything is, it's becoming increasingly diverse. And so for me, that's a very important perspective about looking at how diversity and inclusion has become the biggest strength for how we can be successful and building really strong communities, right? So not just for Asian Americans, but for our whole country. And I think the other thing is really about trying to mentor, and people need to try and figure out or identify people that they can learn from, because I think the quickest thing that I learned early on that's helped me is I don't know everything. I'm not the best at everything, but if I surround myself with people who are, I'll start to emulate them, and I can learn from them.
That is great, because you have that, you always want to learn something, and you want to be surrounded by people who can motivate you to learn and to do the things that you want to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for sharing your story. This is awesome. I
Like my pleasure.
You know, like I learned more about what you know the activities that you do, and this is something that everyone can learn, and myself, I learned from you. Thank you so much, and I'd like
Ditto.
To invite
yeah.
you probably some of the time to talk about some of the things that you do. I remember you talk about the Indonesian diaspora, so that's
mm-hmm.
you know I'm always interested.
Yeah,
in learning
yeah,
about
and we
that.
Could talk about
yeah.
dual citizenship, and
mm-hmm.
You know
right.
I think there's a lot of great things that are happening, and especially in terms of international trade, and
mm-hmm.
just there's because there's such young populations. So how are
mm-hmm.
they mentoring? You know what's going on in terms of trying to make sure that they become the best possible leaders for those countries, because you know there's been a huge shift in terms of the economy, and so you know for Asian Americans here, we can be a part of that.
That's correct. That's correct, Brett.
Yeah.
Let's go
yeah.
for it. Thank you, Brett. Thank you so much for
Thank you.
Your insights, your learning, you know, learning from you, and sharing your story with us here.
Anytime, my pleasure. And feel free to come on the 21st if you'd like to join the boot camp, because you know, Honey White will also be involved with it. So I think a lot
mm-hmm.
of it is how you know we're hoping to use this as a model for many different
mm-hmm.
minority communities. One last piece that I forgot to mention is we're actually
mm-hmm.
coming up with a small business code of conduct or code of ethics, and it's how do we support each other, right? So
okay.
I think this is something that is new, that has been put to the community, but you know I think it's we want to be able to share that with other groups.
Anybody who's interested in going, do you have a website they can go to?
Well, sure. So it's limited in terms of if they are interested, they can email me.
Okay.
And then
okay.
they have to be a business. But
okay.
my email is Baldia B. So B as in boy, A L D as in David, I A, B again
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com.
Okay. Cool. Thank you again, Brett.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And that concludes our conversation with Brett Baldia about community and activism. Please bookmark this site, blogtalkradio.com/ecotwist for updates. And or follow us at twitter.com/ecotwist. Thank you for listening.